And in our little exercise, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, his essential ministry, which makes all of it possible, from not only our physical birth, our spiritual birth, our very existence, is up to the Spirit of God. So, and having that in mind, and we looked at the gospel, the good news. The good news is explained. He buried, was crucified, buried, risen. And the good news is explained by way of God's word, even by the book of Romans, etc. Now, so, in our looking at 1 Corinthians 12, we were looking at the wonderful, wonderful thing that God does in baptizing us, chapter 12, and in verse 12 and 13. He places us in his Son. God, the Spirit of God, gives us a unique location in the Son of God. That's very, 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 very special. And the only way we can even come to grips with it is by way of his word, by way of understanding what God has done. So therefore, 1 Corinthians 12 is giving us an understanding of his body, the body of which we are part of. So, and we share together in the process. Christ is the head of the body. And in the process, a process of being the head, and it's all about the head. In other words, wherever you go, apart from the doctor, wherever you go, you present your head. You don't present your feet. You don't possess your hand. You present your head. That's how we identify each other, is by a head. Now, I know sometimes you say, well, whatever, if you're a shoe salesman, you say, I identify you by a shoe. Now, but we identify by the head. The head is the issue. The head, the brain, physically, and the body is in harmony with the head, and the head is seen and expresses it. The head expresses itself by the body. The body is able to enjoy expression because of the head. So, again, just turn over to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And you will note, as we share together without doing all of that, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul in Corinth. Corinth has a lot of problems, and Paul's there to try to help them. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you, save except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all about the head. So the local body that you're placed into as a believer, baptized into, is all about the head. So that local body, that assembled body in Corinth, and as you know, when you think of that, just look at, turn back for a second, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, unto the church, unto the assembly of the God, which is located in Corinth. So one, here's this assembly, here's this cosmopolitan city, Corinth, southern Greece, and there's the local church. The local church is giving expression, is the body. And the body is giving expression to the head. That's what it says. God said that's what it's supposed to be about. The body of believers representing the head. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so, and remember the word church, assembly, the assembled body of believers coming together. All the parts of the body are there, but you don't get the whole body till all the parts are put together. In other words, I can have so many jars here, of all the different parts of the body. And each one of them would be true, the heart, the liver, kidneys, each thing. They'll all be true. But until I put them together, there's no life. They need to be together to show what? They belong. They belong in the body. That's what the local church is. It's an expression of God's wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that expression is made in the local body as the parts are assembled together. They're assembled together to show what? The head. That's what they're doing. So when we come together, the body is supposed to be all about our Lord Jesus Christ. So that, what's that do? Here we have our physical bodies, our physical needs, mental needs, spiritual needs, social needs, all kinds of financial needs, all kinds of needs. But when we assemble together, we're looking to the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we sit together. That's why we assemble together. People may come in fearing God and whatever, and that's fine. But the believers are there. The believers are expressing their relationship to Christ. So Christ is the centerpiece. And what are we doing when Christ is the centerpiece? He is the head of every part of the body. And every part of the body belongs to the head. And when we're assembled together, we are reminded individually and collectively, we are reminded Christ is our life. And all our needs to live that life are found in Christ, period. So that we can handle this life on earth. Now, what I just tried to share with you is so foreign. You say I must have been talking to the people on the moon. It's so wonderfully real and so rarely, rarely, rarely ever found. And we're going to deal with it. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you can, body's bought with a price, etc., and all the parts are to be wonderfully alive, but they show that life when they come together. Local body of church. The church is when assembled together. So it isn't about you coming to church or me coming to church or whether this, I'm ready for that or I'm not ready. No. It's I belong to the body. I belong to the body. So I am going to get out of bed and I'm going to be active because I belong to the body. I have to exercise my life physically. I have to exercise my life spiritually. If I don't do that, hang on now. Having said that, so each part of the body is full of the head, and each part of the body is full of the head. The body belongs to the part belongs to the head. And the body, Ephesians, you know, our body. We are the body of Christ, the fullness of God. So when we allow Christ to understand that, it makes a difference. You people come to church in and out and all kinds of things when they do. But if they don't understand that, they're missing out if they're saved because they aren't enjoying the benefit. God is waiting to bless the heart as the body is assembled together. His presence is always here. It's everywhere. He's omnipresent. But when the body assembles together, it's special. And when it's special, people ought to come knowing their specialness and where they're going and what they're doing is most special, and they exercise it. Now, how often, how many people do you think that come to church do that? They don't do that. Therefore, what we're going to read, we're going to look at it, we're missing out. And we don't want to get into that. It gets sidetracked. All right. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, knowing we're all part of the body, and it has a unique oneness, and to be expressed and to be enjoyed in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to exercise that oneness. So, and in doing that, before I do that, over to John chapter 17 for a minute, and remind yourself and ourselves what we're doing, saying it a different way. And 1 John chapter 17, sliding down, remember verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them also into the world. Sliding down, verse 21, that purpose. What are we supposed to be doing in the world? Why do we get out of bed? Why do we eat lunch? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That purpose. They also may be one in us. That the world, that's the purpose, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, said Paul. That's right, because that's what you need to know. That's what our assignment is. Down to verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that purpose, they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So, it's a unique oneness and relationship, a unique unity, oneness. And so, therefore, you want to go and express that oneness. And that's what they're going to do. And to see that again, hang on to this, and go over to the book of Acts in chapter 2. And in the book of Acts, as you don't know, go to chapter 4 again, time's sake. Acts chapter 4, just to remind you. Remember, they had a unique, wonderful relationship to God, and they had a wonderful, wonderful life. So therefore, when these fishermen, tax collectors, and nobodies assembled together, and remember in the beginning, they'd all get together, and it was so potent, powerful in its expression when they were gathered together, assembled, that none dared join them. They were afraid. They were afraid to get near that group. God was marking it as special. Wow. They didn't dare join it. Wow. Now, so, what were they doing? They were expressing, verse 2, being grieved that they being taught the people, Peter, James, and John, and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, we did that. That's what they were doing. They were honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Apostle Paul, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So here, what were they doing? They were preaching the wonderful relationship to Christ that God has made possible. So, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby he must be saved. And now that did a job on them. Now when, verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they had such awesome authority and assurance. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, what did that do? So, chapter 4, over to verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said they said any of them that they ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. There was a oneness, the oneness of them. They were one body. Why were they one body? They had one Lord. They had one life. One life. The life that you have is the same life that you have. The same life that I have. That's what makes us one. One. We have the same life. The same Lord. The same love. Do you understand? That's who our oneness. Our oneness isn't anything else. We're all over the place. And that's why we're here. But if you aren't enjoying that life and that love and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you can be here and sit here for 10 years and won't do any good. You aren't one with me and us. And that's what's missing. We're all about us. I, me, and my. And now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, back over to 1 Corinthians 12 for them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up, if I may, in the light of that. Chapter 12, and you remember that God said there's one body. So as you read verse 14, 15, 16, there's one body. It is not, for the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot say, because I am not of the hand, not the hand, I am not of the body. It is therefore, is it therefore not of the body? No, it belongs to the body. All the parts do. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the swelling be? So what does that mean? There's a difference between your ear and your foot. Recognize that? Ear, foot, your arm, and your elbow. All different parts make up your body. Believers over here look like one kind. Believers over here look like another kind. But they're all what? One. God said, do you understand that everything's different? So you know what, look, everyone looks the same. No, no. They wonderfully, wonderfully have an agreement. They're aligned with the Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way to show his awesome person. So, and they all have that, all different parts. So we don't, and God, that's right, all different parts. So therefore, don't sit down. They aren't like me. No, they aren't like you. All different parts. The pancreas isn't the liver isn't the lungs. Now, so again, in verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? You have to have all the different parts of the body. And now, so we're all looking down at which one's an ear, which one's a foot, which one of us a foot? No. Now, and like in the early church, they had all these, God did everything because they had no Bible in front of them. They had the Old Testament, some of them, but that's all. And God just made it work like he can do. But as we have the Word of God, all of that faded back because the human heart was a way to get further and further away from God. God gave his word. It wasn't being believed, and therefore God stepped back. God stepped back. He said, I'm not going to do anything. You're all caught up in each other. And which church is this? And that's what happened way back in the problem in the early church. Way back in 100 AD, 200. Now, in the process, God, how do we answer it? What are we to understand? What are we to understand? Verse 18. And you will note in verse 18, but now hath God sent the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God, you received him as your Savior, and the Spirit of God placed you into the body of Christ, verse 12, verse 13. You're baptized into the body, into the body. And God saved you, and where did he put you? In the middle of his wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where he put you. God did that. So what do we say? Lungs, toes, no. Believers, I'm saved, 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 saved. Same Lord, same love, same life. That's who I am. We're all the same. So we are sitting down and saying, well, who wants to be the lungs this time? See, we don't do that. We are so far away from that. We're so far away from that. But we certainly can be and enjoy at least the wonderful, wonderful surety. The believers saved belong in the body. One body, one Christ, etc., one Lord. So we belong in that body in a unique and wonderful, wonderful way. And we're to enjoy that body. So I'm supposed to enjoy and exercise being saved. You're supposed to enjoy and exercise being saved. And we exercise what? The same life. The same relationship to God. And that's why we're there. That's why we're here. Otherwise, we don't have that. And so, having said that, keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful working, and God places us in the body as he sees fit. So, as you have in 1 Corinthians 12, and God goes, and verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, you'd be one big eye. One big eye. But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, neither can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So we have to understand the parts of the body. And the real believers that are looking and are believing, they're going to exercise that they're in the body of Christ. Being in the body of Christ requires oneness. Oneness, which requires it. In your body, physically, if your appendix doesn't want to act right, you've got a problem. If you've got an abscess tooth, your body knows it. You've got a problem. Your whole body, why? Because the whole body wants to harmonize like it is in you now. And if you don't have any problem, aren't you glad? Your body is what? Working together. And as it works together, and it's defeating your immune system, your bacterial system, is doing what? White blood cells, boom. White, blue, green blood cells. All the different cells. The blood cells, what are they doing? They're killing the germs. Billions of germs everywhere. And your body is killing them, fighting them. You don't realize this war in your body right now. And when you lose the war, you know you're sick. As long as you're winning war, you feel healthy. You're winning the war. Now, so having said that, the body is to enjoy the head and its oneness in a unique way. Many members, but only one body. Let's drive home the point. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And we make a difference between the heart and a toenail, etc. And uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, like I just illustrated with the body. You just have to do that. Now, that isn't practice. Where is that practice? Not very much. Not very much. We don't see each other. People don't see each other like that. We see each other like humans. That's what's so hard, to exercise the local assembly under the headship of Christ, representing Christ. Because what? We have grown up on this planet Earth with what? We understand house, we understand the community, we understand the government a little bit. We practice going to the grocery store and going to church. And what did we grow up in? We grew up with thousands of churches and many, many different thoughts and views. And that's penetrated us for the years of our life. And we absorbed it. We absorbed it. You absorb everything that's happening. Your eye may see this, but your eye is also seeing everything. And you're mentally recording. You don't even know you're doing it. It's just doing it. And now, having said that, you're recording everything. So, when we sit like this, what do we know? Well, that's what everyone does that goes to church. All kinds of churches in all kinds of ways, for all kinds of reasons, that's what we do. And we're sitting here, and just like everyone else is sitting there. Now, where's the example? How many dear believers have understand 1 Corinthians 12 or anything else? How many believers are practicing 1 Corinthians 12? See? What do we practice? That which we experience. We may hear it, like we're doing and reading, but we don't practice it. Not you guys, you understand? But we don't practice it. It's not part of our world. So we never see it. It never happens. Because we haven't got that far. We never get that far. So the wonderfulness of having, how can I even say it? The wonderfulness that you, wherever you found as a believer, you're found in the wonderful person of God Almighty right now. And you're safe as can be and awesome. We're here, true, but we're there. We're there in Christ, God, to bring his awesome person into our heart and to bring our little old person into his heart, a relationship. Now, that's something else. How many enjoy that? See, we don't do it. We don't do it. We got what we do. Now, and that's what we practice. And it isn't part of our world. In the early church, it was, because God took people in all the worship of Diana and all of them and the synagogues, and they took them. And he took the whosoever's, and he did an awesome work in their heart. And he did that. And boy, they were saved. And wow, was it something. Because they knew it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. You see, we used to do that for the conferences, Keswick and all of that. That used to be that's why we started the conferences. We had the IFCA, but then we zeroed in, Helgeson and all, process. We zeroed in. We need to go and get back to the wonderful exercise of looking to God, that you are a wonderful new creature in Christ, and you need to exercise it. We don't have conferences like that anymore. We're hard to find men to do it. That's my little, that's what I can say. I don't need a thing to help you with information. Come on. I can give you 10 books on information, but if you read them, I don't read. I just go to church Sunday morning and give whatever, see? I can do that. But to have it, to get a, have the truth bubbling in your heart of whatever book you want to read, that, Keswick, to understand all the Word of God, search the Scriptures, for you in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which want. Speak of me. So when I study the Bible, when you study the Bible, we're looking to have what? An exposure to the presence of God out here and in here. That's what's supposed to be happening. And it isn't happening. So it looks like so God's sort of a flunky. And that's why we don't bother with his word. We don't bother with Rick. We really don't intend to believe it. We just like what we do. That's it. But, and we have to live with it. We live with it. We watch people come and go, and that's what they do. That's fine. Is that the New Testament church? No. But that's what we got. And we have to live with what we got. We're going to have people come in, and they'll be in and out and gone. They come in. That's all we got. Then they hear a little bit, hear a little bit. If something happens, how much truth are they able to practice? How much can they enjoy assembling together and be of one heart and one mind, like you read in Acts chapter 4? And we didn't even finish that. I'm sorry, I didn't do it. I'm going to do it. Hold your finger there. I'm sorry, I don't think I did it. I wouldn't trust myself for anything anyway, so. Acts chapter 4. And in verse 33, 4:33, the New Testament church, alive and well, 4:33 of Acts, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them, A-L-L. The grace of God was on top of them all. Wow. That's right. That's the New Testament church. Wow. That's what you want. And I don't know. But back over to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just chatting again. But this is a whole subject. And this is what we, here we are on Sunday, the Lord's Day, assembled together. What on earth are we doing? What are we here for, you know? Oh, we're going to learn about the Bible. And I hope you do. But it better be more than that. Otherwise, we just went to another conference or something. I'm just telling you, be realistic. You know, look at things like they are. You say, well, I don't want to look at them like that. That's discouraging. You bet it is. But it's real. And I'm not going to fix anything unless I see it as it really is. I won't change my life unless I don't see a need to work on it. So therefore, as the schism of 1 Corinthians 12, let there be no schism, no division in the body, for all members, in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So that's true. You get your appendix fixed, you get your tooth fixed, whatever, and your whole body is glad. You feel good. The toothache's gone. You're good. Right. And when you get the toothache, you all feel bad. See? That's what you do. That's real. It's a part of the body. So, but if we don't see part of the body, we don't see the parts of the body, then it doesn't make any difference. Who does what, when, where, how, and why? It doesn't make any difference. You do what you do. I go to ShopRite and someone else goes to Stop and Shop and someone else does that. And what's, yeah, how do we do? We don't have that oneness. Don't have it. We're content. Not you guys again, but trying to see it. Because it's an awesome thing. I say it for the umpteenth time. It's an awesome thing to be a believer. And the Spirit of God places us in the middle of His Son and places His Son, God the Son, in the middle of your heart. That's for real. We aren't talking about a pie in the sky by and by. We're talking about the reality. Colossians 1:27, the mystery, which is Christ where? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's why it's so important, 1 John, to know that, understand that Jesus Christ is God. That's what they didn't want to do. They didn't mind him being whatever. Don't really be God in Christ. God, you couldn't be in Christ, but he is in Christ. And that's antichrist. You don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe it. No. Because then what? Because the God in Christ, his perfect humanity, made it possible for God in his perfect humanity on the cross to be in your humanity and mine here and now. And that's rather personal and awesome, to say the least. Now, so they're sliding along. So the body all cares about each. It does that. Now, we have the body of Christ and members in particular. In other words, that we're individually, each part, each in the body, the oneness of the body, God recognizes each part of the body, the liver, the kidneys, the spleen, etc. God recognizes all the parts. Every part's important. You just read it. Every part belongs in the body. And whose body is it? It's his. Look over, hold the finger here again, over to Ephesians, and in chapter 5. And in Ephesians, you know, just to put it together a little better, chapter 5, Ephesians, and you will note, if I can, chapter 5, picking up, oh, if I can, verse 28, 5:28, Ephesians. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. In other words, you take care of your body. You don't put your hand you don't go and put your hand in the fire. You keep your hand out of the fire. You're going to protect your body. You don't try to hurt your body. Then something's radically wrong. You try to hurt your body. So we don't do that in the process. And each one cares for their body. So here's the Lord. The Lord, should you care? God, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You are my body. Therefore, what do you know about God? And just read it. You heard any part? All the parts hurt. All the parts are good. All the parts enjoy being good. So in the process, here's the body. The body belongs to Christ. God said, you take care of your body, I'll take care of my body. My body is you. You're my body. You take care, and I'm very conscious of my own body physically, and so are you. God said, I'm conscious of you. You're my body. That changed a lot of things. You're my body. And thus, sliding down, chapter 5, verse 30, for reason, we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, yeah. God said, I care about my body. But I don't understand about being your body. Then you don't understand about my care. You won't understand why I love you. You don't understand why I'm going to take care of you. Because it's missing. You don't understand you're my body. And therefore I need to be very conscious. I belong to him in the body with the other believers. Every part important. Every part belongs in the body. Every part is under the head. And the head is involved in every part of the body. All wonderfully real. Wow. Wow. Now, back over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, I'm picking up, if I can, in chapter 12. And you will note, verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, etc. Now, God has done this, and God did that because remember, they didn't have the New Testament as we have it, and they had that, and so God made up the difference so the body could function. In other words, if you were living in Corinth, living back then, before then even, in that period, you would have never read 1 Corinthians because it wasn't written. It wasn't written. You never didn't even know anything. I'm in the body. All I know, I'm saved. And you're saved, I'm saved, we're saved. That's what we know. So therefore, God puts them in the body as it pleases him. And God did that. So, and everyone in the body, and all different things needed at different times. The apostles and prophets are needed because they're at the beginning. And they're at the beginning. Christ is the foundation. Look over if I can. Christ is the foundation, and they, apostles and prophets, are necessary. Look over back over in Ephesians again. To keep in mind, everything has order to it. And in 1 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 4. Go to chapter 3, chapter 2. Pretty soon there's only one more left. Ephesians, chapter 2, picking up if I can. In verse 19, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built. Where are we built upon? The foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We have the foundation of the wall, and then we have the bottom layer. Now, you can't put the upper bricks till you get the lower done. You have to have the foundation. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, then what did you do? You set apart the 11, then 12 apostles and prophets to give us the New Testament. God's in the upper room. God gave him everything. The Spirit of God's going to make it all work out in the New Testament that is to be given. And that to enjoy that, God get that. God brings the New Testament to work, and the apostles and prophets are down. We don't have more apostles going up the pile. They're on the bottom. That's when you need them, because there is no New Testament. You need that. And the prophets, you need them, because there isn't a full 30 books of the Bible. You need them. But after the foundation is laid, You don't need them anymore. You already have the foundation, now build upon it. And in the process, in like we shared in Ephesians, build upon the apostles and prophets. Over, if I can, in the light of that, I forgot what I was going to say, in the process. So God is going to go and have the foundation built, and we're to build up and on it in a most wonderful way. So, and having said that, and I know what it's going to do, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you'll recall, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, are you yet carnal? Chapter 3, verse 3, etc. You are yet carnal, whereas there is among you strife and divisions. And are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am Paul, another saith, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, I heard Apollos gave me, I got saved by Apollos, gave me the message, I got saved. Paul gave me the message and I got saved. There's not two different groups. It isn't about the apostles. It's about you being saved. Christ makes you one. Therefore, not apostles and prophets. Verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It's about God saving you. And he puts the apostles and prophets down to build upon. 1 Corinthians 3, look over if you can, in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. And he's the next stair. Now that's what we're doing. We're building on that. Back over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll notice all the different things. There's the gift of apostles, there's the gift of prophets, the gift of miracles, power, all the different things they did. And you remember they had healing. They had different, the gift of healing, all kinds of things that existed. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, having said that, so the miracles are there, the healing is there, all these things they did. Paul didn't heal everybody. And Paul himself had something. God never allowed it to get fixed, his physical problem. God didn't do that. But there's a time to do what? God does things in the right way at the right time for the right reasons. God does them in order to work his will. And to the measure, someone falls off a building and they get bruised, but nothing. They live. And I know another dear lady that fell off a stool and she died, more or less. Just died, fell, died. So you can fall, not the fall killed her, but that's the idea. Whether you fall off a stool, fall off a building. One time, God makes it, one person does it, next person, never, don't try it. Now, having said that, keep that in mind. Gifts of healing helps God take care of things. Helpers, God made all kinds of things, helpers. And you'll see it in the light, the gift of healing, the gift of helps, the gift of governments, management, all that God did, all that, diversity of tongues and languages. Because what? The church is all meeting. There's not 10 different churches of 10 different languages. They aren't doing that. The believers get saved. The Italian gets saved. The Chinese gets saved. Each one gets saved. And they come to the body, which is what happened. They come to the local body in Corinth, Jerusalem, Antioch, and they come together. Why do we need the tongues? So because this guy just speaks Chinese. And you don't speak Chinese. But you are given the gift to help him. The gift to help him. You're giving the gift to help that Italian fellow so that all of us are getting on the same page. We're all going to be on the same page, the gift of language, tongues. And it's more than that, but it's wonderful. Now, having said that, gift of tongues. Now, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. That's a rhetorical. All these are rhetorical. The answer is, that's just, the question and the answer is no. Are all apostles, all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? No, they aren't. They're as God sees fit to do so, and God has to do it. If God doesn't do it, all of your education and all of your skills, you can have awesome, wonderful talent without ever being saved. People have it. They have mathematics skills, they have language, all kinds of things. Ability, little kids, little children have talents in them. And this little kid can do mathematical problems or solve puzzles. And I've been looking at the same puzzle for 20 years and I haven't solved it. That little kid got it. That's a gift, a gift. They have all, so we don't want to get mixed up. The church is satisfied with never having God's gifts. We're satisfied with having our own gifts of talent, ability, and we do it. And God bless it. But it isn't, it is just a different, gifts different, gifts different. Some people are just more apt to do something than others. Some people like to study more. Some people have background in what they do, obviously. If you're training something, you're going to know what to do. When you go to work, don't I think of all the different work I did? Different work, I think of Sanborn Company when I worked for them. They're the ones that made all the styluses and everything for the machines way back in the 50s. Did that. So now, in the process before that even. Anyway, now, having said that, and you did it. And they had to train me to just do how that stylus, that little stylus, I had to make those styluses and they'd go on that thing. And they trained, and I learned how to do it. I didn't need to be saved to do that. They taught me how to do it. And I'm skilled, and someone else come along, they couldn't do what I could do because I was trained to do it. That's humans, that's us humans, and we're content with that. And understandably, we should be in a real sense. But that's all we are. When it comes to God and gifts, I tell you that because it's been one long time when I'd say it to you again. And we're satisfied with others, so what I'm going to tell you, it won't make any difference to most of us. We don't care. We just do it. In other words, we do the best we can. And God, this business of you doing it in our heart, God, Spirit of God, teaching, bringing out something you'd never know. You would read it 10 years and never see it. And boom, there it is, out of the pages, for you to see something, truth, wonderful truth. God does that. And God, the rest of us can do whatever. And we do the best we can. And we do the best we can, and we're always delinquent. I gotta quit. We're over. But you get a little bit. I'm trying. If you don't get there, for us to live another 10 minutes isn't important. What it is important, God helped me to get a glimpse of the problem and how to solve it, to see it, and so that I, in my little old life, am starting to see. That's the safety you have if you pursue to see things as God sees them, and by God's, I gotta quit. Anyway, hope you got a little bit. Thank you for your patience.